And I often say that those four words trump three words, because you can love someone and not believe in them. But when you believe in someone, you absolutely love them. Mm. A soulmate knows your instruction manual by heart.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I'm a womb shaman. I'm an activator and facilitator of Shakti energy. Fellow ecstatics, my beloveds, you know, speaking of beloveds, one of humans' greatest, deepest desires is to find love, to find companionship, to find connection, the depth of intimacy that we can experience with another human being. We yearn for it. We crave it so deeply. And, you know, in the spiritual community, we have all these labels like soulmates and twin flames. And what do they mean? Well, today we have a special guest, Corby Mitlide, and she is an intuitive consultant, a teacher, and has a career spanning the globe with international clients. And what I love about Corby is I think we're going to really get to hear a lot of the experiences that she's had with clients about these topics and what she's learned with real feet on the ground experience between her and her clients around soulmates and twin flames. Corby, my love, thank you for joining me here today.
It's great to be here. Thank you for asking.
One thing I really loved about connecting with you is I feel like you hold a great deal of experience and wisdom. I feel like you've really spoken to a tremendous amount of people and really have seen a lot.
And I think the phrase is been there, done that, sold the franchise.
Been there, done that. Yes. That's what I was actually trying to find that phrase. So thank you.
Yeah.
And so my love, with regards to soulmates and twin flames, let's dive into this topic. What has been your experience with those labels and people finding those loves in their life?
All right. Notice that the glasses are going down like the teacher here. Look, I have been reading since I was 18. I'm 68. I've been doing it full time basically since 9/11. And I guarantee you 95% of my readings start with, does Bruce love me? Is he my soulmate? Or I want to know where my soulmate is and what he looks like and where I'm going to meet him. And are we going to meet? I say, stop. I am not a tour guide like that. For one thing, soulmates and twin flames are totally different. Soulmates aren't necessarily your life mate. I mean, soulmates can be anybody close to us, a parent, a sibling, a child, a teacher, a workmate, a friend. If we were only supposed to marry our soulmate, why do people get divorced and remarried? Wrong answer. They, as I say, aren't a twin flame necessarily. That's a different being. And they aren't always perfect with my clients. Soulmates are not supposed to be castable in a Hallmark Christmas movie. I'm sorry, but they're not. You may have somebody who completely trips your trigger on a lot of things, but you still can't imagine being without them. Sometimes a soul agreement between two people is that one of them will always push the other's buttons in order for their friend to face hard truths. And that's not always an easy thing. They're not permanently part of your life necessarily either, as I said. So stop me whenever you want to throw a question in, because you know, you press the button. I'm just going to go.
I love it. And I feel like my first husband, I don't have a second husband, but the one that I married and divorced was a soulmate. I always felt that of him. And Yeah. And, you know, he's still in my life because we have children together, but otherwise wouldn't be. We have a great relationship. We're still on very, very good terms, but he had that soulmate energy to him. And I love how you say it can be your family, right? Your children, your coworkers. And so would you say that with soulmate, there's a familiarity feeling there?
There really is. One of the examples I love to use is my father. He and I shared the same birthday. He always said I was his 34th birthday present. And for my first 4 years, I thought I came in a box with ribbons, gift wrap.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
He's the only one in my blood family who really understood my nature. A lot of the other people in my family think I'm a crazy failure. Well, live and be well. But he got it. And he died a week before 9/11. He was a brilliant cardiologist. And when I do medical intuitive stuff, if it's cardiology, dad comes in because I don't know anything about cardiology. So that's a great example of a soulmate. My last husband, no. My current husband, yes. Even my spiritual mentor that I have known for 40 years, we have not always been simpatico. There have been times when we have just exploded apart because both of us had other avenues we needed to follow and we were getting toxic for each other. And I'll say that without judgment. Now we're as close as we ever were. But my life would have been profoundly different and lesser if she hadn't been in my life. So that shows you that soulmates aren't always glurpy purple with angels. They're just not.
I really love that. I really love how you showcase, especially with a mentor, because that can absolutely happen. We can move away and come back several times, and we can do that with our friends. We can do that with all kinds of different relationships. And it doesn't mean that person's bad or you're bad or there's anything. You might just be really not along the same path in that moment. And who knows, maybe your paths will cross again. Maybe they won't, right?
Exactly. I had to grow to be an equal in my own separate milieu to be able to come back. I couldn't keep trying to be her, which I did because I wasn't sure of who I was yet.
I really love that.
The fact that she completely accepts and cheers me on being on my own separate path, that's a mentor. That's not a guru. Two very different things.
Yes. I also feel like soulmates can be animals. My last dog was a soulmate, and I've had a lot of horses, I had one soulmate horse, you know, which in the horse world, they call them heart horses, right? Mm-hmm. But it's those animals that you just really click with.
Yep. Had one. I called him my heart's partner. If you see me looking over here, this is my 15-year-old Maine Coon. It's like, mommy, you know, I'm still here. But this was Oswald, and he was a big Maine Coon. When he died the first time, if you will, in 2008, cried myself to sleep, had a dream that night. He was fully healthy. Everything came trotting up to me, and I woke literally jackknifed up out of bed and had pure joy because the message was very clear. Mom, thank you so much for getting me out. That body sucked, but I promise I'm coming back. Watch for me. And so I had an animal communicator at that time who pinpointed which breeder and which litter he was going to come back in, because another Mainer. I said, how will I know who he is? And she laughed. She said, he has it handled. So I go to the breeder. There are four little kittens. You can't see the heads or the tails. They're all this little mush sleeping together. Going to have the same name. So about 6 feet away, I sat and said, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. One of them, head came up, looked at me, bumbled over to my lap, like where they've been, comes home, goes to all his favorite places, eats out of everybody's food dish. Boom, I'm home. So I had him effectively for 28 years. And when we lost him in 2020, health stuff, again, heartbroken. But that night, in my head, not expecting it, was, I'm okay, Mom. And we have seen him out in our hayfield since, energetically. Now that's a soulmate.
I love how you brought up the animals, because I worked as an animal communicator for a while, and I had several people, when their animals passed, I had the same thing. The animals were like, I'm coming back. But it was interesting because people got very, they became very obsessed. And I had to really teach them to relax and like they're coming back to you, relax. And they'd get so obsessive, they'd start to really close it down, close down the energetic field. I imagine you stayed very open-minded, and we were able to get several people of them reunited with their animals. So that's always, that was always like one of my favorite things about being an animal communicator, was that reunion. Is that a word?
Reunion.
Reunion. Yeah. So special, you know, because I always feel like with animals with our soulmates, there's so much that they teach us, and they teach us about being human, ironically, even though they're not human, right? Because they teach us about love and about connection, about presence, which all these things are deeply human, that they just pretty much do better than we do. So that's kind of the conversation of soulmate. So what is a twin flame? And let's hear your perspective on that.
Twin flame is a very specific thing. Twin flames, it's like you imagine somebody and you can't imagine them with anybody else. Bogart and Bacall. Joanne Woodward, Paul Newman. John and Yoko. Okay. Again, a twin flame you will not always marry. Also, they're not always here with you. In my case, I knew that I had put a lot on my plate in my pre-birth planning session, and I was basically going to have to heal myself of a lot of trauma and re-raise myself. For my twin flame to be down here now, I couldn't do all that work. So in the pre-birth plan, there was the agreement that that soul would stay up there. There's still the heart-to-heart connection. But the last time we met each other was 100 years ago when we were a pair of pilots in World War I. No, we were not lovers. We were companions. We were colleagues, but we always trusted each other and we had each other's back and we were each other's best friend. So that's how twin flames can work. So a lot of the soulmate rules work with the twin flames, but not all the twin flame rules work with soulmates. And another example, Yogananda and his primary disciple, Sri Dayamata. Absolutely twin flames. She dedicated her life to him at age 18. She died at age 93, decades after he died. But it was that instant, we have things to do in this life together.
Yeah, you know, I don't put labels so much on things for myself, but I do feel like my relationship that I have now, it's a very intense relationship. We have a very strong magnetic pull together, and you know, really brought to the surface all of our shit right off the get-go. I mean, mine included. Like, geez, Louise, my higher self slapped my ego so hard, so many times for that first year of our relationship, and you know, at one point we broke up for about a month, and I have had a lot of relationships and I've never had any troubles walking away from any of them. And I could not do it. I mean, the feeling in my body was so intense. And just like you said, it was like, I can't imagine him with anybody else. I can't imagine myself with anybody else. It was a really crazy experience for me. Cause again, like I said, I've had a ton of relationships and it's always been like, okay, it's done. It's done. You know, like I'm not going to play these games and do all of this stuff. And it's been by far, like out of the ballpark, the most transformative relationship of both of our lives, you know. Very, very impactful and potent. What would you say, you know, I know, particularly with twin flames, when the whole conversation sparked, you know, in spirituality a couple of years ago, or however many years ago that was, where it got really, you know, faddish. You know, there was this real talk around like, oh, you know, your twin flame can chase them and they can chase you. You can be the runner or you can be the chaser. And it seemed to really create this kind of this, gateway for people in toxic relationships to say, oh yeah, this is my twin flame because they're pressing my buttons and we're chasing each other or running away from each other. Well, what is your perspective on that?
That makes it sound like Freya and Killian in Witches of East End. No. It's just...
I don't know who that is.
So oh, it's it, about 10 years ago, it was a witchy soap opera on TV, and they had been soulmates and twin flames for years, and it always ended badly, and you know. Twin flames are, if you will, soulmate squared. All the rules of a soulmate will be the same for a twin flame. So what does make a soulmate? Let's look at that. A click and lock friendship. You meet them and within 20 minutes, it's like you went to kindergarten with them. Conversation flows. You find lots of matching points in your lives. You have a visceral understanding of who they are. And it feels like you've known them all your life. There are bedrock basics. You aren't clones. There are going to be times when you disagree on things, but on the big things, the ones that really matter in your lives, you're always on the same page. You'll feel bigger with them than without them, because a soulmate brings out the very best in you, and they will remind you of all the good things you are when you forget. They are your biggest and best cheerleader. You know, my father, perfect example of that. They understand the concept of companionable silence. From reading separate books to doing entirely separate tasks, simply knowing the other person is in your proximity gives comfort. Or, you know, like for me, cooking is therapy. So when we're sharing a task, like making dinner, it can be done quietly without needing to chatter. One of my dear friends who has since passed, his name is Ed Makovsky, down in Atlanta. Once a month, we would get together to do the kitchen dance. We'd do a month's worth of cooking to fill our freezers. And we knew each other so well, it was like, this needs, and I'd put my hand out, he'd know exactly what spice. Boom. There's an expression I learned from writing for the graphic novel series ElfQuest, eyes meet eyes. Even if you have trouble looking at most people when you talk to them, and some people do, you can look straight at your soulmate without fear or discomfort. There's no challenge in their glance. There's only understanding and welcome. You and your soulmate are one big family. You're treated like blood kin by each other's family unit. You may refer to them as your other parents. They'll refer to yours the same way. And you never miss family events on either side. Soulmates give us a safety factor. Shields down, masks off. A soulmate loves you because of, not in spite of, the weird, quirky things you do. And it's mutual. You're your best and worst self in front of them because you know they accept you no matter what. And they will never, ever seek to deliberately hurt you with what they know. Team soulmate, fire-breathing dragons, and all we has are rusty grapefruit spoons. Yeah, we got this covered. The two of you working on a project together, it's like Warp Factor. You're a well-oiled machine. Boom, 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 boom. You can just get it done. There's the 3 a.m. friend factor. You call them up. They say, okay, what's the problem? How much money and where do you want the car? They don't question. Now, they may not always be able to do it for you, but they will never be angry that you asked. A soulmate believes in you. That's what's inside my wedding ring from my husband, is I believe in you. And I often say that those four words trump three words, because you can love someone and not believe in them. But when you believe in someone, you absolutely love them. A soulmate knows your instruction manual by heart. What to do to calm you down, how to relieve your stress, how to cheer you up when you're feeling lower than an ant's belly. Time and distance will mean nothing. You know that the soulmate, you haven't talked to him in 4 years, you pick up the phone, it's like you talked to each other last week. And, you know, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but these are all the things that soulmates bring into our lives. And if you think about it, that's not just what you're going to find from a partner. That's what you're going to find from lots of people in your life.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. And also that helps, I think, to clarify people's opinion of, you know, the toxic relationship that seemed to be, I don't know, being created. I wasn't really a part of all of that, but I would see it and spoken about in the spiritual community around twin flames. And just what you said, if somebody's really believing in you, if they're supporting you, right, if they're willing to be there for you, listen to you, whatever it is, that's not a toxic relationship.
No, it's not. It's not. Because people have been fed the horse hockey around romance, whether it's Wuthering Heights or Gone with the Wind or whatever, they assume that the harder a relationship is, the more likely it is a twin flame. Oh, get a clue. No. No. Sometimes not right is not right. And you wish him well and you let him go. Bless him and release him. That's it.
Yes. Yes. And other times I would say, you know, like my husband, we got along really, really well. Like we rarely fought. I think we probably fought in our total 13-year relationship three times. I'm not joking. And, you know, total lack in passion. Total lack in passion. We're really good friends. We're really good teammates. We're not good lovers. You know, so like that's the other side of it, right?
I get it. Look, there are rules that I give to my clients about relationships. And that is not only for soulmates, that's just how you have to behave in any relationship that matters to you. And the first one is you got to talk. You can't just expect them to know what's going on. The second, big, you have to make it about the challenge, not personal sniping. And I use the example of the closet. Okay. You're in a small house and there is not a lot of closet space. One person is taking up a lot of it and you find your stuff is ending up on the floor. The challenge is, I know we don't have a lot of space, but my stuff's on the floor. How can we fix it so it's a little more equitable instead of, you're a closet pig? Which one do you think is going to get you a little more cooperation here? Two versus at is huge. Huge. There's talking to someone, there's talking at them. There's yelling to them, yelling at them. What's the difference? Yelling to someone is you've got to just vent about stuff. Yelling at them is you have a real problem here. And one of the things that my Carl learned early is when I came in and I was like, stop, he'd say, okay, are you yelling to me or at me? And if I said, I'm just yelling to you, he would put on this spiritual duct tape and hold space. If it's at, then we go back and we talk. Same thing, fix versus listen. Every relationship, one of them is a fixer. And that drives me crazy because sometimes I just need to talk things out loud and it's like I'm holding things up. And in the beginning, Carl would say, well, what about this? And I think, and so you're always being deflected on what you're trying to look at. And that sparks an argument. So again, now, do you want me to try to fix it or just listen? If I say, just listen, spiritual duct tape. If I say, yes, let me get it out and then help me fix it. Then I am so ready and grateful to hear what he has to say. It hasn't derailed me. It's helpful.
That's so interesting. I had the same thing with, I learned that lesson through one of my ex-partners where we found that we were both trying to just express emotion, right? And the other person would try to fix. So we said, we got to stop doing this because we're just trying to express. We want to open that door. We want to feel like, hey, I can have emotion. I can scream, I can yell, I can cry, I can have emotion. And you don't feel like A, it's pointed at you, or B, that you have to fix it, right? So we did a similar thing. We said, we created like a tagline. This is what I always tell my clients as well. Just start off with, this isn't about you, or I'm not directing this at you. I just need to express. And that's the hint. Like, just like you said, okay, I'm here to hold space. Do your due, right? Because it's so important that we give ourselves a container. Like my man, he vents, he just comes. Sometimes we'll have a conversation. He'll just start, you know, raising his voice and getting all like, and it's like, great. I just let him do it. And sometimes throw in a couple things that help kind of, yeah, I hear you. Like, I feel you. Yes. You know, and then he gets that out of his system and we carry forward. But there's been people in his life that have called him aggressive for that, even though he's not pointing it at me. There's no aggression whatsoever towards me. He's just, get out of this energy, you know, like open and crack and let the pressure out. Right? Like, so do it. Like, I can hold that space.
People are not going to be perfect. You love them, but there will be some things that drive you bananas, but they will never change. And that's okay. We are not supposed to fix ourselves for each other. We are supposed to be accepted. And if there's a mutual, can we alter this? Then that's different. Okay. That's why I say the best relationships are 60-60, not 50-50. The idea is each partner goes a little bit more than halfway, and it's the extra 10% that locks it in the tough times. And the perfect example I give is 18 months after Carl and I got married, I got my third bout of breast cancer. And the doctor said, well, it's the second primary, so your danger clock is back to zero, but three strikes, you're out. We're taking the rack, we're taking the ovaries, and you're going from this Dolly Parton figure to a fat fire plug, internally damaged, in 3 weeks, suck it up. Now, did I go home and cry? Yes. But then I knew that I had to find three reasons to be okay with it. Number one, you don't have them, you can't get cancer there. Number two, they're not going to get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's every year, and every woman listening knows what I'm talking about with that one. Third, implants mean I'll be perky till I'm 93. Carl looked at me and said, am I going to miss them? Oh yeah, they were gorgeous, but I married you, not them. Did it change what we thought our marriage was going to be like? Absolutely. But October, it was 21 years, 23 years together, and we have worked on it. The marriage is different, but still better than it was the day we got married, and stronger. So that's what 60-60 does.
Oh, I really love that. I really love that 60-60. That gives me the bliss hits in the body. Corby, what do you say when you know you, because this is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about this, because I know as an intuitive and as a psychic that's the question you always get as you opened the door with, mm-hmm. of like, tell me, does Bruce love me, and where is my soulmate? And so what advice do you give those people, or what advice do you have for the audience if they feel like they're not with their soulmate or they're questioning their relationship? Let's start there. What if they, if
All right,
they're questioning
remember.
Whether they're with their...
You're not with your soulmate. Remember what I just said. You got lots of them. You're not with the right person for a relationship. Let's put it that way. One of the first things I do, I'm not only a certified, I'm out of camera, I know. I'm not only a certified tarot master, but I also use an awful lot of oracle decks to help pinpoint things. People work well when they see something. So the first thing that I do is I pull out this deck, which is by John Gray, the guy who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And I pull what I call the four and four. The first four cards are qualities you need to bring to the relationship in order to make it work. Second four, dude or dudette doesn't have them. It's a non-starter. Don't waste your time. Then I will pull cards for 3 years. And, you know, based on their age, whether it's princess, prince, king or queen. But if I see five possibilities in the next 3 years, I will tell you about that, because that's part of giving you your free will. There are some people that say, well, Madame Huha said that he was going to be blonde and about 6'1", and his parents were lawyers, and he comes from Minneapolis. And I'd say, maybe she's right. But what if there was this 5'11" dark-haired performance artist from Brooklyn who could have been just as wonderful for you and you would have been on the same correct life path, but now you're so busy looking for Mr. Blonde that you're ignoring another possibility, which is why I won't say it's only this person. Free will is everything. And it, yes, I do it by month to month. And so, you know, pulling a couple of examples, because that's what people want to know. For instance, this card, I call the meeting of the minds card. This says that you would meet someone, you take a class together, you work together, you're working for the same political candidate, you're working with the same charity. It's not meet cute in the frozen pizzas. Then you've got this one, which I love. This is the walk into wall stupid in love card. This is like, you know, you meet a guy, a second date, he kisses you in the parking lot of the diner and your knees go, that's my husband and me. So I know it works. Yep. And, you know, so those are some of the cards that don't take an age. But then, for instance, let's say you're looking for somebody 25 to 40. Then I pull the Prince of Wands and I say, this guy is really intelligent, some kind of an artist or a writer. He adores the world, but he's so intense. He's like a golden retriever on 2 feet. And people go, what do you mean? And I said, he's all, it's like, look at this, look at this. You get it. Bruce, over here. Oh, sorry. Not that he's looking at other people. And if they still don't get it, I say he's the human equivalent of the dog's diary. Woke up this morning, my favorite. Took a walk, my favorite. Had a nap, my favorite. Bath bummer. Had a treat, my favorite. You know, he's just in the moment. He does not dwell on the awful stuff. So they have a real sense of the personality, but notice I'm not telling them necessarily what they look like. The personality will shine out, but don't think that he has to be, you know, someone with sandy blonde hair receding about an inch and a half from the, no, please don't.
Yeah, I love the divine will. I think that's really important because, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like there's never just one potential. And whatever we're saying, like, this is your future, you know, this mm-hmm. is what's going to happen. It's this person. Yes. I feel like you're being totally oblivious to the fact that there is free will and there's multiple timelines that are potentials and we're constantly yes. shifting and moving timelines. And so you're just basically, if somebody's Madam Hoo-ha, which was really cute.
Madam Hoo-ha and Swami Sulanda are my two, you know.
She's aligning with one and she's saying, this is it. But it's like, well, what if they shift? What if timelines alter? Just like you said, and this man walks in and they don't even see him because he's not blonde. And now that's just left their space.
Yeah, look, I admit, I have been married 3 times. The first one, less than a year. I left after he threw me against a wall. Second one, less than 2 years. He decided, you know, I was a bagel. He was a surfboard. He wanted to go back to California. And I refer to them as my two bad biker boy types that we all fall for. And then there's my husband who literally looks like Father Mulcahy on MASH. Totally different. Did not know that's what I wanted until I had him. So you have to be ready for spirit to say, darling, you've changed. So we have someone who's going to be a better fit. You're not who you were at 20. You're 46 when you meet him. This is right now.
Yes, 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 yes. Or for instance, my partner, you know, I had a mentor tell me, oh, you need to meet somebody who's really spiritual. And so I was being really like, you know, filtering everybody through that. And meanwhile, this man kept coming into my space. We actually met online mm-hmm. and I could really feel him. And I kept saying, well, he's not spiritual. And then my friend said to me, maybe he doesn't need to be spiritual. And I was just kind of like, well, duh. You know, like it's so funny.
Dawn breaks over Marblehead.
Seriously, yeah. Like I hadn't even really recognized that I'd taken on that belief. And I was like, oh yeah. And then, you know, first date was it. That was it. It was done. And, you know.
So that was the Ace of Cups card for you.
It was absolutely actually the Ace of Cups card. I had somebody read our cards and we're, yeah, that's exactly what it was. So
cool.
Ace of Cups, baby. So Corby, what is your favorite way to work with people?
When they are excited and involved in what we're doing. I've had some people come to me and say, I don't know, just tell me what you see. I'm sorry, that's like trying to climb Everest in sneakers. There's no grip. So when you sit with me, it's what's the most important thing you want to look at? What do you want to leave here knowing? And when they jump into that, it's a party. I have so many tools that it really depends on what they know. I love tarot because it tells stories. And I'm a past life retrieval expert. So if there's a really good reason they want to know past lives, I love diving into that. Very quick example. Woman came to me and said, my son is 29. He won't do anything without checking with me first. He won't live more than a mile from me. What is going on? Is it a past life? And I went upstairs and I pulled them fast. So it was, okay, 1944, Utah Beach. I see your son. He is a soldier. He's got shrapnel in his leg. So this is D-Day. You're his commanding officer. You pull him over the dune. You take some shrapnel too, but you both get out of there and you both live. She looks at me and she says, can you see my rank? And I said, yes, you were a sergeant. She goes, he's called me Sarge since he was 3 years old and we never knew where he got that. Boom. So that she was able to take that information back to him and help him unravel his dependence on her. So those are my two favorites, tarot and past lives.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then how can people find you, reach out to you?
Oh, Lara, they can't avoid me. They really can't. best place to go is my website, corbymitlai.com. There are dozens and dozens of articles. You can listen to my podcast there. There are some 24 different kinds of readings and products. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, Corby Mitlai at Fire Through Spirit. You can find me on YouTube. And if you really want to work with me one-on-one as a learning thing, go find me on Patreon.
Mm. Yeah, one thing I really noticed about your website that I really liked is there's a wide variety, like you said, of readings mm-hmm. that really span different entry points and meaning financial. And like some are just, I believe you send them an email or you send them the report mm-hmm. versus like in person. So you have a variety. So it really allows people to engage with you in various different methods and modalities.
And I do tend to downsell myself. Don't buy a soul plane reading if a general reading will do it for you. And I make sure that I put it within most people's availability. For instance, I do a 12-hour work soul plane reading, but my hourly rate is 20% of what it is for everything else because I don't want to charge four figures for that. People won't be able to afford it. So I charge less. And if you really need that kind of work, getting through a life challenge, it's there for you.
Mm, that's beautiful. Yes, wonderful. And the Patreon, what is that?
Patreon is very cool. It is.
I mean, I know what Patreon is. It is, but what is it for you specifically?
For me? Oh, it's, yeah. Well, my nickname is Ma Feathers because of ravens. You know, there's always room under the wing. And it's called The Nest. And once a month, we get together, and right now it's only about 14 people. It's small, but we work on spirit guides. I bring in people who are superb at what I do not do, astrologers, herbalists, people who work on vibrational. I teach them how to read cards because it's not just, see, I'm a teacher and just take notes. It's always, let's work on this together. Because like I say, I'm, you know, facing 69 in March. I'm not going to be here in 30 years. I need to pass on what I know. I'm an elder, and that's my job.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you, my love, for bringing your wisdom today. Okay, so let's make our activation time here. And mm-hmm. so a reminder for the listeners that, you know, if you're driving, not to close your eyes. That's always my joke.
Please. Yes, I'm a medium, but don't do that.
Yes. And you can still receive the transmission regardless of what you're doing. If you have the time and space to sit down and close your eyes, do that. You can always come back to the recording otherwise. But know that regardless, if you're cleaning your house, if you're walking around, if you're driving, you can still receive the transmission, okay? And secondly, there's nothing that you need to feel during this. Whatever you feel, my love, is absolutely perfect. Trust the wisdom of your body. Be present with yourself and enjoy the process, okay? So let's close our eyes for those who have that available to them. And let's just start by taking some nice deep breaths, breathing in through the nose, down into your belly, exhaling out through the mouth, breathing down into the belly, letting go with your exhalation, let go. Breathing into your belly, expanding, drawing in new energy, new air. Feel that expansion as you inhale, exhale, let it go, release. As we're inviting the body, the physical body, the emotional body, and the mental body to start to let go, to start to let go. Letting go of any energies that no longer serve you, letting go. Beautiful. Excellent. Excellent. And let's drop our awareness down to our root chakra. Drop our awareness down to our pussies, my loves. And let's breathe down into our pussies. Remember, my loves, this is where your power is. This is where your Shakti, your creative life force energy is. So let's light her on fire. Let's stoke her with your breath. Breathing down. Creating expansion, drawing energy down, and then exhaling. And let's, again, exhale audibly, moan, sigh, groan if you feel like it. Breathing all the way down to that pussy and exhaling, letting go. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. One more nice deep breath all the way down. Beautiful, beautiful. And then let's take our awareness to our heart and let's breathe at the heart space for a few breaths, imagining as if you are breathing directly into the heart. Each inhalation, the energy is going directly into the heart. And as you exhale, as always, you're letting go. We're connecting here, connecting here, connecting here to the heart, connecting here to the heart that connects you to all of your soulmates, all of your soulmates, your family, your friends, your lovers, your loved ones, your coworkers, your animals, all soulmates are found here in your heart. And just breathing there for a moment. And I want you to go ahead and set an intention, whether that is to maybe meet a new soulmate, maybe deepen the relationship you already have with a soulmate, maybe meet a soulmate in a new aspect, like a friend or a coworker or an animal. And feeling as you breathe into your heart, your intention in your heart space now. Breathing there now. And I want you to hold that intention. I'm going to start to bring in some sound. We're going to anchor that intention into the heart. We're going to anchor, activate, and amplify that intention. So hold it in your heart and breathe into your heart. Ya la tru tru ya ya la mula ya la tringira fa la kutraishi kina vaya ultri tri tri ngina maya la ha kula tri akumraya ala karavaya ala kunra traya mala ashikila hala valania kai tru mala. Nice deep breath. Ya la mula ya. Yeah, I'm gonna Let's take three more nice deep breaths into the heart, breathing there, just allowing for the perfection of the unraveling of your intention, of your heart's desire, my love, allowing for it to unravel without expectation, without time constraint or limits, knowing that you have connected to this desire within your heart. We have activated and amplified it here today, trusting that it will arise, trusting that it will indeed be created for you. Ah, excellent, excellent, excellent. And opening your eyes. Yay, my love, Corby. This was a delightful conversation.
Thank you. I had a great time.
And fellow ecstatics, definitely reach out to Corby. You know, there's always times that any of us could use a little assistance, could use a little insight. And as I said, I see Corby as being very, very wise, very deeply connected, and she can absolutely assist you in a process of bringing you clarity, bringing you insight, and allowing for your free will, right? Allowing for your free will. Make sure you also share this episode with others so they can better understand soulmates, right? And they can better understand twin flames. When we understand these things better, we open the door to experiencing them more in alignment and with more depth and with more intimacy. Until next time, I love you all so very much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.